Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Me, Matt Slick, hope you're having a good day. That's Slick Live. So, why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Love to hear from you. And by way of reminder, as I like to do, just let you guys know that we do have need of your support. If you are interested, you could just go to CARM, CARM.org, in the right-hand side and see the word donate. $5 a month is what we ask, and we're looking for 1,000 people who'll do that, and that way we'll be able to pay all the bills. And what we're trying to do is get the radio show expanded to other markets as well. And summer months are tough. So I'll just let you know, that's what it is. $5 a month isn't too much. So, all right. Now, if you want to give me a call, there we go. Want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I'll be out of the studio, just to let you know, on Friday the 26th. That's right, a couple of weeks from tomorrow. Got to travel out of state. And then next month, I'll be out for a couple of days, or for another day. On another Friday, got to go out and teach at a seminar in Olympia, Washington. So if anybody's in that area and listening, you can contact us. We'll give you the information about that. I'll be doing a seminar on apologetics on different groups and then preaching on Sunday. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'd love to teach and love to be able to preach the Word of God as well. I'm just praying and asking God to open up the door so I could preach again. I miss preaching, being able to just... speak the word of truth, God's word, to God's people. It's a great privilege. It's a great responsibility. And it always scares me whenever I get up and do that. The reason is because I take it so seriously. And I just want people to hear the word of God. I want them to hear the word of truth. And to be able to get up there and do that is a very serious calling. And I take it very responsibly, very, very seriously. I believe that preaching the gospel is one of the most important things anybody in the world can do. You don't have to have a PhD to do it. You can just give the word of grace, the word of truth to people. And I consider it to be incredibly important. So there you go. Why don't we just jump on the phones? Let's get to Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, I wanted to talk with you about how Reform theology teaches election mm-hmm. and salvation in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to be clear in this understanding. To achieve salvation, a person must place faith in Jesus Christ, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And God chooses who those people who place their faith in Jesus are. Is that correct as well?
That's what election would teach, yeah.
So, my question is, can God save everyone, or is it not within his ability, or, go ahead?
Of course he can. In Proverbs 16:4, in Proverbs 21:1, God moves the heart of the king where he wishes it to go. In Acts 16:14, the Lord opened up the heart and the mind of Lydia to believe the gospel and believe the truth. He does
so,
these things.
I guess my question would be, why does God choose not to save some people and randomly chooses other people to be saved? Why doesn't he choose everyone to be saved?
Well, first of all, I can answer the first part of the question by going to the scriptures. But the second part, randomly. God never does anything randomly. And often people who object to that teaching will use words like that. They'll say random, and it's just by chance. And it's not like that. God has his criteria by which he chooses. We don't know the criteria. So let me just read to you the word of God, because what you're asking is covered in Romans 9. And this is starting in verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, her father, Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Now, I'm going to continue, but let me ask you a question. Because in the text you're reading, it says that it's not because of what they would do, because of God's choice. He loves one and hates another. So what do you think of that? Good, bad, don't like it, fair, what? What do you think?
I think it's pretty disgusting that that's how some people would think God would operate.
I just read you the scriptures.
I think it's disgusting that God hates... He creates a system that people can't escape from, and go ahead.
Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?
I don't believe.
You don't believe.
I am, yes.
Okay, you don't believe you are, yes. So I don't know what that means. Are you?
No, I am a Christian, yes.
Okay, so if you're a Christian, then you are obligated to believe the Word of God, aren't you? Right? Or do you want to submit?
You are, but there are varying interpretations of it.
Well, you can take those varying interpretations. Hold on a sec. You can take those varying interpretations. You can flush them down the toilet. Let me tell you, I just read to you what it says. I didn't interpret it. I'm just reading it to you, and you're objecting to it.
Well, there's context and things like. I'm just saying that there are a lot of denominations that don't.
I don't care about denominations. We're reading the Word of God right now. You and me, we're reading the Word of God. You objected to it. Now, I had to ask you the question, if you like it, don't like it, whatever, and you don't like it. The next verse says, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. There's an objection. Now, you didn't word the objection the exact same way, but it's an objection nonetheless, isn't it? Wait a minute. God loves one and hates another? Well, then, that's not fair, as the basics of what he's saying in Romans 9:14. You are understanding the text. And Paul asks the question, not the exact wording, but he asks the same question you do, the same complaint. That means you understand what he's teaching. Otherwise, you would not have raised the same objection. So let me continue with what the Word of God says. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend upon the man who wills or the man who runs, but upon God who has mercy. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole world. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. So let me take another break here. What do you think of that?
I think when this presentation that God creates a system that some people fundamentally cannot save themselves, and then God chooses not to save them, but he then chooses others based on no merit of their own, is fundamentally unfair and discriminatory. And I don't think it's a proper interpretation.
Did I interpret it? Or did I just read it to you?
I mean, you threw a lot out there, but I'm sure that, like I said, there are others who would probably disagree with the general context of what you're saying. I'm just saying,
of course they do. And they do. Let me try. Of course they do, because they reject the Word of God. Let me continue. Verse 19, you'll say to me then, why does he still find fault for who resists his will? This is another complaint. On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God, the thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory? You said some heresy. You actually spoke heresy, damnable heresy. You said that means
that I think that system is unfair.
No, you said
that's not heresy.
Let me finish, please. You said It's not fair because people can't save themselves based on what they're doing. That's a flaming heresy. That's a damnable heresy. It's a false doctrine.
Well, they can't. Because of original sin, people are born with original sin. They have the sin nature.
That's right. Ephesians 2:3. We're by nature children of wrath. Do you think we can do anything at all to save ourselves? Anything at all?
According to that, what all you just said, probably not. No, we'd have to wait for God to just randomly select one of us and discard the others.
I guess God has a coin up in heaven. He flips it up in the air to see what's going to happen at random. You object to God. You're objecting to God himself in his sovereignty, in his election, in his predestination. You and thousands upon thousands of others reject the sovereignty and greatness of God. And you submit the word of God to your own desires and wants. You need to repent.
If I thought God was a tyrant in that form of presentation, yeah, I would reject God.
You reject him. Reject him all you want.
So I don't think...
Would God ever hate anybody? Does God ever hate anybody?
I don't believe God hates anyone.
The boastful shall not stand before... This boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. That's Psalm 5:5. Psalm 11:5. Let me read the scriptures, the word of God to you. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. In fact, I read to you where it says, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated, in Romans 9:13. So let me ask you a question. Why do you reject the word of God?
I reject interpretations of the Word of God that are objectionable.
Objectionable to who? To you personally?
Well, see, the thing is, the Bible uses a lot of metaphorical and symbolic...
Hold on a sec. Objectionable to who? To you. Because you don't like it?
To anyone with a sense of justice.
Hold on. You make these statements. So anyone with a sense of justice. So you have a sense of justice, and you appeal to the majority or anybody else, and that's how you judge spiritual truth instead of looking at the Word of God and submitting to it?
I think if God is no more just than your average tyrannical dictator, then
tell you what,
maybe humans are.
You have the right to reject the truth all you want. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God in flesh by any chance?
I don't see that as being relevant to this conversation, but...
It is very relevant. Do you affirm or do you deny that Jesus Christ is God in flesh? I'm just curious. Okay. So you're not affirming and you're not declaring who Christ is. You're behaving and sounding like an unbeliever who wants to judge God. You should read Genesis chapter
3. Just the system that's...
What system? There's no system. I'm just reading it to you. Let me ask you this. Would Jesus ever speak in such a way so people not get saved?
I think Jesus would always tell the truth, but I'm just saying that
Would he ever speak?
Everyone's a sinner, and I just want to review the system that's set up here by God.
Hold on. We have a break coming. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, stay tuned. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages and talk to Anthony from Virginia about the Word of God and His truth. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Oh, he hung up. I was hoping it would continue. Folks, let me just do a little bit recap a little bit. Folks, what I did was read the Word of God. Now, basically... Within the Christian camp, there are two main camps in this regard. One is leaning towards the sovereignty of God. The other one leans towards the sovereignty of man. In the sovereignty of God, he has the right to do with his creation as he desires. In the sovereignty of man, no, God must be fair. And the issue here is that the people who say that, they are the ones who are setting themselves up to be the judge of righteousness, and then saying that God and the scriptures must be revealed according to what they think is right and wrong. This is the beginnings of idolatry. And so anyone who would do that needs to read Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And you need to read there how Satan got Eve to deny the Word of God, to alter the Word of God, to contradict the Word of God. What I read to him was Scripture, and I asked him what he thought of it. The answers to his questions were found in Romans 9, 9 through 23. So just if you guys want to read it when you get home from driving or whatever, starting at verse 9 of Romans 9. Just go Romans 9, 9, start reading. It's a controversial section of Scripture, and it's controversial because of what it actually teaches. It's controversial because people don't want it to teach what it teaches. Far too many people want salvation to be dependent upon the wisdom of their own hearts and minds. But the Bible says the unbeliever is a slave of sin, Romans 6, 14 through 20, who does not seek for God and does no good, Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12, who cannot do anything good or receive spiritual things, 1 Corinthians 2, 14. His heart is desperately wicked and deceitful, Jeremiah 17, 9. He is he's dead in his sins, Ephesians 2, 1. By nature, child of wrath, Ephesians 2, 3. This is what the Scriptures teach. And this is why the Bible says God elects us and predestines us, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Chooses us for salvation, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. Appoints us to eternal life, Acts 13, 8. We're born again, not of our own will, John 1, 13. And Jesus says very interestingly, he says that in John 6:44, no one can come to him unless you've been drawn from the Father. And then in verse 65 of John 6, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him from the Father. And we also find out in Philippians 1:29 that God grants people that they believe. And in 2 Timothy 2:25, he grants repentance. They asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? And Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe on whom he has sent. John 6, 20, 29. So if you're listening to what I'm quoting and you don't like it, listen to the show. Again, get the scripture references, call up. I can give them slower. And you can go check them out for yourself. Please do. Now, when I want to just, before we get to the callers, we have a full stack here waiting. But when I was out this past weekend at the Jehovah's Witness convention, holding up a sign, rjwschristian.com, a gentleman came out, and he had contacted me via Facebook, said he's going to come out. And he did. I had never met him before, a great guy. And we were talking, and as is often the case, people will tell me what they first thought of me when they're listening to me on the radio. And as soon as he said, you know, when I first heard you, and I started smiling right away, because I know what's coming. And he said, I thought you were arrogant. I thought you were prideful. And I go, well, yeah, that those are all true. And I said, but, and I just motioned, you know. And he says, but the more I listen, the more I figured out. That's what it says. People will often say, Matt, you're just arrogant and prideful. Well, you know, I can't say I'm not. I mean, certainly I have arrogance and pride. I certainly confess those sins and try and deal with them. But don't make the mistake of thinking that I'm just being prideful and arrogant, and mistake the confidence that I have in the Word of God for that, and then dismiss the Word of God because of it. Your obligation as Christians is to check what I say against the Word of God, which is why I quote Scripture's references so much. I want you to go on your own. I mean, come on, think about it. Reverend Slick on the radio? You need to be checking what I say against the Word of God. As Paul the Apostle said to the Bereans, they're more noble-minded because they checked even what he said against the Word of God. Acts 17:11. And Romans 14:5, let each person be fully convinced of his own mind. The issue here is, folks, this one thing. Are you going to submit to the Word of God, or are you going to submit the Word of God to you? Those are the options. You believe the Word of God, or you make it conform to what you believe. And if that's the case, you might as well become a Jehovah's Witness. Because that's exactly what they did with the New World Translation. They changed the Word of God to make it fit their theology. And for that, the damnation is upon them. And when their breaths cease and their heartbeats go away, they will enter into eternal damnation. This is the consequence and the severity of the truth that's revealed in the Word of God. God is sovereign. Yet, we know that God loves, and He loves the world, John 3:16. And He calls people, He's lifted up, He draws people to Himself, John 12:32. And that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, Romans 1:16. We do not know what criteria God has from all eternity by which He chooses people and grants them repentance, 2 Timothy 2:25. Or grants that they believe, Philippians 1:29. We don't know that criteria. He does not tell us. But somehow, some way, we know this. The more we preach, the more people get saved. So you see, I preach and teach and witness and evangelize as much as I can. Because I know that it's not up to my wisdom and my abilities, but to God's capability, God's wonder, God's mercy, and God's grace. And so that's what we are obligated to do. We're obligated to preach and teach that word everywhere, in season and out of season, whether it's comfortable or not comfortable. And believe and preach that word. And I believe in my heart that the beginnings of the repentance of the Christian church in America must be that they need to bow the knee and their hearts to the sovereignty of God and revealed in His Word, and recognize that He is the sovereign King who calls, elects, predestines, saves, grants belief, and grants repentance. And that we as Christians have that right through the blood of Jesus Christ to approach that throne of God and ask the Holy Lord to save more. And somehow, some way, all of that has worked through the eternal counsel of God, Ephesians 1:11, in order to bring about the redemption of people. That's how it really works. And that's how it should be. I just recommend that you study the Word of God, submit yourself to it, read Romans 4 and 5, read Romans 9, 4, 5, and 9. 4 plus 5 is 9, okay? Romans 4, Romans 5, Romans 9. Check it out. All right, well, I'll get back on the phones here to Joanna from Utah, whom we lost. Let's get over to Dell from Iowa. Hey, Dell. Welcome to the show. Sorry for the long wait. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Yes, I'm sorry. I heard Joanna first. Okay, yes, I'm here. Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a particular situation. I heard you talking about the transgender world. And yeah. I have a niece who has become my nephew. And has
Can you hold?
Had,
we got a break. I apologize. We're going to break right now. We'll be right back.
Sure.
I want to hear this. Folks, be right back. Sorry, I had a little break here. Hiccup, that is. Be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. All right. Are you still? Sorry, Adele, are you still there? Are you there? Hello? Oh, you know what? I got to hit the right button. Every now and then I hit the wrong button, even though I know better than that. I've been doing this for years. Sorry about that, my bad. Okay, welcome back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I start over?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I have a niece who has decided to become my nephew. Mm-hmm. She has had male hormone therapy and a double mastectomy. And I don't agree with what her parents have supported her in doing. But it's done. She's had body parts removed. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I don't know how to pray for them anymore.
Pray for their salvation. Pray for the salvation of a person. My daughters, I have three daughters, and one of them on Christmas this past year said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to bring over a friend. Is that okay?" And I said, "Sure." Doesn't have a home, doesn't have this and that. We're just kind of helping her out. I said, "Okay, great. One more thing, Dad." I said, "What?" Going through a sex change procedure. And I said, "Okay, bring her over." And she ended up spending the night. I slept on the floor with a bunch of... not a bunch of, but, everything was fine, the couch, actually. And got up in the morning, we had Christmas, and we arranged for her to have a gift. And she came over many times afterwards, and I was always loving and patient. My goal was always to present that gospel truth to her when she was ready to hear it. And she, anyway, she's since moved away, and we did have an opportunity where I talked about it with her. So I understand what you got to do is pray for that person's salvation. That's what you do.
Yeah, I'm concerned for their whole family because their mother, through all of this, has decided that she's no longer a Christian. She's a pagan, so she's just going through the motions.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole family is in jeopardy. They go to a church where the minister basically speaks heresy every Sunday.
Yeah.
And there's no hope there. I've spoken to the pastor, and she's convinced that there's no such thing as the virgin birth and that there is absolutely no set truth in the Bible, and that there are many ways to heaven. And when you're listening to that kind of heresy every Sunday, where do you find hope or salvation?
You don't. You don't.
All right.
They're lost. And that pastor, so to speak, that pastor, will face double judgment. It's just what's going to happen. So, they're, the blind lead the blind, both fall into the pit and perish. And this, it's just sad. And this, it's sad. So you are experiencing the result of sin in the world in some different forms of the heresies and the false shepherds, the wolves in sheep's clothing of the pastor, the heresies and the lies, 1 Timothy 4, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And it goes on. And this is what we're facing. And it's alive in our culture. And I keep saying we Christians have got to stand up. I know what needs to be done. And we need a massive United States Christian prayer vigil first. Internal repentance, external repentance, repenting in our own hearts, repenting in the church, and separating from those evil teachers like that pastor, and then calling our country to repent. And this is what needs to happen. God will hear if we do what we need to do. But you're experiencing the result of rebellion against God. So you pray for that person's salvation and the salvation of that family. And
I will. I do.
That's what you got to do. It's hard.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. Okay.
Thanks. God bless.
Oops. Cut her off there. God bless. All right. Let's move on to the next caller. Anna from Raleigh. Been waiting a whole half hour. How are you doing? Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Reverend Slick, I have a question. You know the people who perished in a cult such as Jim Jones and Joe Towns and David Koresh? Mm-hmm. What I wanted to know was the people who perished, did they not have the Holy Spirit to help them discern that that was an occult and they needed to get out of there?
Well, we don't know because there was over 900 people who died. And what we have to understand is that people believe what they do and they allow themselves to be deceived. Luke 6:39, and Jesus said, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? They will both fall into a pit. And so Jim Jones was initially a pretty decent preacher, teacher, from what the word I've heard, and then he just gradually went off the wayside, and people were brainwashed by him. They didn't subject what he said to the Word of God, and so the cult thing. So some people in there, we know, got out and were saved, so to speak, physically, and those who didn't, they are responsible for their own judgments, for their own decisions, and they suffer the consequences. Faith is only as good as who you put it in. And so they put their faith in a pastor instead of Christ. And so they were led astray.
Oh, okay. So could it have been that they heard the Holy Spirit but didn't want to listen to him? I'm assuming some of them were saved.
Well, if they were saved, you cannot lose your salvation. So that's really important to understand. But the job of the Holy Spirit, among other things, is to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And when this is what Jesus says in John 16. When he, that's the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. So the Holy Spirit convicts. They can listen to that conviction, so to speak, or they can ignore it. And I'm sure that God was communicating to them one way or another. They rejected his truth. And they reject the word. The thing is, God has spoken through Christ, the word in flesh. God has spoken through the Bible, the word in paper. And it is his written word. It's in written form. And so it is authoritative and true. And people, what they do is they reject the word. And what's God to do, so to speak? Well, he's a sovereign king, but they are going to be held responsible for their rejections of the truth of the word of God. And
okay. Thank you, Reverend Slick. Have a good evening. Bless you.
Bless you, too. God bless. All right. Let's get over to Lewis from Virginia. Richmond, Virginia. Lewis, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Let me take it off speakerphone. Can you?
Okay. So what do you got?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. I just wanted to basically affirm what you were saying to the first gentleman about the doctrine of election. Okay. And maybe point out the fact, me and my wife, we talked about it, and she has a real hard time with the fact that, you know, people may have been created by God to display his wrath and his glory, and that the reason that she has a hard time with it, and may even be that young man's same difficulty, is having friends that haven't come to saving faith. But
right.
He has to realize, if that is the case, that's all the more reason to minister to them and to right. give them that gospel message.
Amen.
But I think that he has more emotional reasons than intellectual reasons, and it's a spiritual battle that's really blinding him from the fact that the word of God is true. And when you come to that realization, it's a truly liberating freedom to know
yes,
that
is.
he's chosen you, even though you had no will or no power to do so on your own.
Yeah, it's true, and it is freeing. But I didn't get a chance to talk about all of it. There's another side. You know, God loves, and he draws, and people do have responsibility, and he does not tell us how it all works. As I mentioned, you know, we don't know, but the gospel is the power of God, Romans 1:16, and the word of God is powerful. It accomplishes what God desires, Isaiah 55:11. So we're supposed to lift up Christ. He'll draw men to himself, John 12:32. That's our job. And as I said, the more we preach, the more people are get saved. God works through his people who are saved to bring more into his kingdom. I don't know how it all works.
Absolutely.
But it does. And this is, you know, what I pray when I'm talking, you know, to God about this kind of stuff. I'll say, Lord, if they're not elect, please elect them. I'm saying, I don't know how it works, but God knows. All right? Good for you.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show. Let's see. Which one we're got to next? I believe it's this one, Chuck from Greensboro. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Good evening. I have a statement, not a question. I hope it's okay. It's about predestination in my Bible study.
Sure.
Okay. I've studied the Bible now for, I don't know, 45 years, maybe more.
All right.
And initially I had problems with predestination, mm-hmm. and I just kind of, you know, I didn't want to not believe God's word, because I've always believed God's word since I started studying it. So I just kind of skipped over it. But right. the evidence is overwhelming, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. And so I figured I had to get my mind wrapped around what was going on. Mm-hmm. And what I found out over the years is the problem is just what the man stated about unfair. That's the human, you know, viewpoint of God just deciding.
Right.
But what I have discovered after reading the entire Bible multiple times, that God is fair. And I may not understand his criteria, but I'm sure they're just fine. I know he doesn't flip a coin, as you said, tongue-in-cheek. So I know whatever the criteria are, it's fine. And whatever the criteria are, they're God's criteria. And I don't have a problem with it, because throughout Scripture, you see his love, his mercy, his grace, mm-hmm. and I don't see any unfairness anywhere.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you want God to be fair with you?
Oh, heavens no. That's unfair. You're right. That's where I get mercy instead of justice.
That's right. Yeah, I don't want what's fair. I want grace and mercy.
I like God's way.
Yeah, I like mercy.
I don't think what the one person said, that God creates people to go to hell. It's just as a matter of creation, some people don't have the right criteria, and only he knows what those criteria are.
Well, here's the problem. He creates individuals. And so mm-hmm. it cannot be that they have a set of attributes that are independent from the creative, sovereign hand of God's work. They exist with certain attributions. People will say they have free will. Why does one person's free will enable to believe and the other one does not? Well, because they have free will. But that doesn't answer the question. It's begging the question. So we know from the scriptures.
It seems to be the line in their development.
It's not that easy. If you were to, like tonight, as a matter of fact, you could call up. In about 3 hours, let's see, almost 5 o'clock in about an hour and 10-15 minutes, I'll be on what's called Apologetics Live. We can discuss this, but when we get down to the nitty gritty, the logic of all these things, you'll find out that it's not as simple as that either. I have a lot of discussions about this topic, and it goes quite deep. But God, I'll ask people questions. So, I'll ask you this. Would God ever make anyone, make someone wicked even for the day of destruction? Would you ever do something like that? What do you think?
I really don't know. I couldn't answer that.
Well, that's a fair answer. I like people say they don't
thinking
know.
Thinking is way
fine.
Beyond mine.
Well, there you go. I like that. I was referencing Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. And it's like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go through, and God doesn't make people ontologically evil. That's not his will. But we have decree, direct decree, indirect decree. We have permissive will, prescriptive will. We have creative will. And it gets into some pretty deep aspects. But nevertheless, these were theologians discuss, and I love discussing this stuff. Too much for the radio, though. But you can join us tonight if you want, Apologetics Live. We can go into this more if you're interested. If not, no big deal. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for hearing me out.
Sure.
Have a good night. God bless you.
You too. God bless. All right. Why don't we get over to Mary from Utah? Hey, Mary. Welcome to the show. I was reading.
Hi.
I wanted to say welcome to the church. Welcome to the show. Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have a question. Me and my daughter, we went to my old church to visit, and it's an Assembly of God church, but I was just really surprised, because a lot of the people left the church.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
Okay.
Very, very little there hanging
okay.
on.
All right.
And I'm just confused.
Why would they leave?
Is that the great falling away, or...
Well, the Assemblies of God itself, the Assemblies of God denomination itself is moving south, is going bad. Maybe people are leaving because they believe the Word of God. And I'm not saying every AOG or AG denominational church is bad, but they're starting to affirm women pastors and elders,
right.
that kind of a thing. And so, who knows? That particular or church could have a bad pastor. It could have an influx of people who, or an outflux of people who had to move from jobs. Who knows? I don't know.
Uh-huh. So but what about the great fall? How do you know if it's a great falling away? I mean, because I left.
Oh, that's different.
I left because I wanted to go where there was the Word of God more.
Well, there you go. Maybe the person preaching is not preaching the Word of God. You know, I just got to say this. I just want to be able to get in the pulpit and preach, open up the Word of God and say, here's what it says. And just go through what it says and let people decide what they're going to do with it. This is what it says. That's what I believe we should do. Let the power of the Word of God speak. And those who are not His, they don't want to hear His voice. They're going to go to a place where they can hear a false teacher and be more comfortable. But those who want to hear the word of truth, the word of God, that's what needs to be done. But too many pastors and preachers, what they want to do is preach to please people and not God. And they're going to be held under severe judgment for that. But nevertheless, your particular church, I don't know what the situation was, can't comment. But there is a general apostasy that's already here and will increase according to the
prophecies.
That's
what I was going to ask. I've noted. I just really feel that way because I prayed, and I felt so spiritually hungry, and I feel like God had led me and my daughter to a church, you know, because my daughter, she went into lesbianism, and the LGBT almost took my daughter away, and I lost my car. I was just so devastated. I almost lost everything, and I was like, I felt like Job, and I remember that story, and I'm like, I've got to keep my faith. I've got to keep saying, I've got to put this in God's hands, you know.
Amen.
And He guided me. He was able to give me a counselor that wasn't an LGBT that helped me and my daughter get back together and rebuild our relationship better and to guide my daughter. And we went to a church. We were guided to a church where there is nothing but scripture.
Okay. Well,
and
all I can do is...
I'm good at... I'm happy.
I was going to say, all I can do is just encourage you to pray and read the Word and believe the Word and look for and ask God to open up the door for a church that believes the Word of God and teaches it. Whether you know the good, you know, the easy and the not so easy in there. Okay.
You know, I really feel sad for the people that that I don't know about the Word of God too much and they're searching and there's a lot of false teachers out there.
Yes, they're wrong.
That are misleading a lot of people.
Yes, that's
and it's
true.
So sad because they don't know how to identify the apostasy. And I know that one way is to identify it is if the teachings don't go by the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, and
right.
If you know if they don't believe in that.
The power is in the Word of God. They got to study the Word of God. That's what I tell people all the time. Okay?
Right.
Well, thanks a lot.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay,
and everybody that hears you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary. All right, let's get over to Michelle from Charlotte, North Carolina. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hello, Matt. I have a question about... the sin of homosexuality versus other...
I found this on the web, but the sin of homosexuality...
Oh, excuse me. That's my...
okay.
Versus other sin. For instance, there's a lot of child pornography. There's a lot of human trafficking. Hello?
Yes. Yep.
And I just never hear anybody... talk about any of that, which I know is in the church.
Whoa.
And so, you know, it just seems like it creates a cover for people because all of the eyes are on homosexuals. And, you know, especially the sin of child pornography is a long, I mean, this is nothing new. It's not only in the Catholic Church. I believe it's in all the churches.
It is.
Just like pornography and just other types of sin. But, you know, I don't understand why we just don't have more love to draw people who are in homosexuality, and I do appreciate you when you talked about your daughter's friend, and you did show her love, and mm-hmm. and you know, you did have the conversation with her. But you know, when I was in the world in sin, I didn't need anybody to tell me I was in sin. I knew it. And, you know, it just seems very one-sided.
It is. It's a touchy subject. And there needs to be sermons that are stated while children aren't in the room. And so, you know, if I were a pastor going through, for example, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, I would discuss the issues. It says in there's a list. That those people, they're unrighteous, they're fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, mm-hmm. drunkards, revilers, swindlers. You know, you're right. A lot of this stuff exists inside the Christian church. Now, you have to understand there's what's called the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church is full of people you can see who go to church. But the invisible church is full of those who are regenerate. And so there's a difference between them often. You know, just because everybody goes to a church doesn't mean they're all saved inside that church. And we know that there are people, I know there are people listening to me right now who go to church and have secret sins of pornography and self-gratification mm-hmm. issues and fornications and adulteries. And cross-dressing, and too much alcohol, maybe a little bit too much of this or that, medically speaking, drugs, whatever. And I would love to have a seminar where I can teach this and talk about this and get it out. Over the air, I have to be careful. And the reason I'm careful is because I know that there are children listening in some areas. And so I need to just be wise when that goes. But there needs to be, in my opinion, conferences where it's adults only. And we go in and I can discuss these things and get specific. And men in particular need to be called to repentance. Men in particular need to become spiritual and godly leaders. And men in particular can bow their knee in their hearts before God, confess their sins to the Lord, and determine in a repentant heart to follow after Him. And because we are so strong as men, we are able to face the consequences of what we have done and move forward into what we can do. And we need to have men being encouraged, but men are not. And there's a whole thing about this. And men are under heavy persecution on justifying their sin. I should say our sin. I'm a man too. And we're out of time. You know, that was a great comment you had. I wish you'd call back tomorrow to talk more about it. All right, Michelle, sorry, we gotta go. But may the Lord bless you. Hey, folks, by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. I hope you tune in and talk some more then. God bless. See you. Bye.